unmute, or you can just use the chat, whichever thing you're most happy with. So the first question that we get asked an awful lot, and some people are still wondering because things aren't set in stone necessarily for subjects for September yet, is about the differences between English literature and English language. Now, Miss, can I ask you that one first? Because obviously our guys can tell us about the individual subjects, but you teach both. So what do you say the differences are?
I would say that they're both of equal validity, but I think it's a case of where you think you want to go with it later. And I think that you also need to really consider, A, if you love it to death, do both anyway, because you'll find different skills in each. But I think when you think about English language, you've got to try to think journalism, really. I think it's very, very close to this idea of writing for a purpose and unpicking how you're writing, why you're writing. It's very much about audience and purpose and thinking about a journalistic field, really. It's linguistics as well, where we're kind of looking at how we speak, how we got the language we did, which I find fascinating in the history of it, and looking at the idea of how we kind of convey power and gender through our language, which is really interesting. So there's a bit of kind of sociological stuff in there. There's some, I suppose, linguistics, if you're interested in languages in general, and there's some wonderful journalistic elements there as well. So if you're into that kind of thing, then I think you'll enjoy it. But it's not creative writing, it's more journalism. And I think it's really important to get your head around that.
Okay. Can I just ask, Eleanor, can I ask you, just on the language side, just so we get a feel for the difference between the two, the kind of things that you've maybe enjoyed most over the 2 years in terms of your study of English language?
Yeah, I'd say that my favourite thing about studying English has been how you can relate it to today's society and how relevant it is in an aspect that you don't normally think about when you think of it, because I really enjoy sociology. That's my passion. And I find that language is like a different way in which I've been able to understand sociology. And I find that, like Miss Smith said about language and power and gender and technology, I just think there's so many different ways to look at language in which you wouldn't normally think about.
Awesome. Sasha, any particular things that you've enjoyed over the 2 years?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Eleanor. I think like the variety of topics was definitely like a contrast to GCSE, but in a good way. And I found like it was also good to have like lots of different styles of exams. So I really enjoyed the editorials we did, which was more creative writing. But then if you preferred like the written, the more formal writing, you could also get a chance to do that. And I just found it was really varied and we all sort of, yeah, found something we enjoyed.
Good. I mean, just to give you guys a flavour, if you're thinking of English language or you're deciding between the two, English language, you are studying non-fiction texts rather than fiction. That's one basic difference between the two. And a lot of the texts that you'll look at are very kind of topical and modern, whether it be, for instance, you doing a coursework study of the language of, you know, an American president, or, you know, whether it be kind of looking at how one thing that I've read recently, for instance, was how a range of different football managers use language to kind of protect their position. You're doing a lot of your own kind of transcripts. So you're looking at spoken language, which is very different from GCSE. You're kind of working out how you would transcribe it on the page and then analysing it. So much more, I would say, kind of non-fiction and language in the real world. On the literature side then, so Ursula, can I ask you kind of why you picked English literature, and maybe, I don't know, maybe how it compares to GCSE? Is it the same as GCSE or different, or why did you choose literature?
My reason isn't a great reason, in that it was simply because I just really liked Frankenstein when we did it at GCSE. I really loved that text, and that is probably the reason I did English literature. But the thing that I'd say that I really liked about the A-level is that, much more so than GCSE, you go into the different areas of literature. So we look a lot at the Gothic, particularly in year 12. And I just found it so interesting that you could look at a whole genre of literature whilst also focusing on two texts in so much detail. So you get the breadth, but also the depth. And I really like that about the A-level. I thought it was a really good way of approaching texts you've never seen before.
Great. Rose, what about you? What have you enjoyed most?
I actually really enjoyed doing the coursework.
Yeah?
I really liked doing the Jerusalem coursework. Creating our own script or writing like...
Okay, so those guys that don't know anything about it, can you just explain what your coursework involved?
So in year 12, you had to do this coursework on this play called Jerusalem, which is a really funny play. It's also like quite... Yeah. It's
not... Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, and we saw it it was at
VNA.
Yeah, that's where we saw it. And then once we saw it, we analysed the whole performance and the whole like script. And then we decided, for the coursework that I decided to do, was to create my own version of the script for one scene. And that was really fun. Because I don't know, it was trying something new. It was creative writing in a way, but also we had to make sure that it linked in with the way he was writing as well. So you become inspired by listening to new voices.
Good. The other side of the coursework, which maybe is the slightly darker side, is in year 13, which is where we do a piece on war literature, where there's a comparison of some war literature written kind of from the trenches, which is the poetry of Wilfred Owen, and then you compare that to a much more modern take, which is from Pat Barker, a book called Regeneration, or it's from a trilogy called Regeneration. We just do one of those texts. And there's a comparison there between how, for instance, both of the authors are able to convey some of the kind of mental and physical kind of horrors of the trenches. But Jerusalem, as Rose says, is very different. Jerusalem, very much kind of 21st century, and much more of a kind of, it is a comedy, but there's extra kind of depth that goes with that. Great. I'm just going to see whether we've got any questions in the chat. This would be a really good chance for, if there's something that you particularly wanted to ask, to just write something in the chat. If you want to have a think about that while we kind of go on to another question that's already been kind of put to us, then that's fine. I'm just going to have a little look. But by all means, ask us any questions as we go through. You can add them in the chat, and then we'll kind of come back and have a look and see if there's anything that you would particularly like to ask us. It can be about absolutely any aspect of English language or English literature. Okay. Right. While you guys having a think maybe for questions, I'm going to go to another one
We've got a question from, sorry, Mr. Wilson. We've got a question from Matt about coursework.
Ah, sorry. It hasn't popped up for me. Okay. Sorry, miss, can you go with it? Because I can't see it at the moment.
Yeah, okay. So what we've got is, Matt was saying, what kind of coursework is it? What exactly is the coursework?
Okay.
And I was also asking about English language coursework. So perhaps if we look at that first and just...
Yeah, sure let's talk about the coursework.
Nobody's done coursework before, so it's a very different thing, I think.
Yeah. And then, Ellie, we will come to your question in a sec, because that's kind of a slightly different question. So in the English literature coursework, if I talk about that, you do two pieces. One is a shorter piece, which is based on this modern play, Jerusalem, where you either do an analysis of a particular scene, a really close kind of analysis of that scene, or you can do what Rose talked about, which was to write something, an extra scene in the style of the playwright. And then you write a little commentary that goes with it to kind of explain how that fits into the play. You then do a second essay in year 13, which is the longer piece, which is a comparison of, as I say, two texts about war. And the question will be something along the lines of something like, how do both of these authors convey through the way they write some of, for instance, the mental traumas of World War One or something like that. I don't know if Rose or Ursula, you want to kind of add anything in terms of the English literature coursework on that? Is there anything I've missed? No?
Not really.
Rose?
I think it sounds a lot harder than it actually is.
Yeah.
You get a lot of help. It's not...
Yes.
Even though it's good to do your own independent research, which is what I would recommend everyone to do, they don't just leave you in the dark.
They're not like,
oh, no, that's rubbish.
Yeah, I mean, we do have lessons where we cover some of the themes and the topics that will be in your coursework. And then you also get the opportunity to hand in a draft and then to have a detailed chat with a teacher about anything that needs to be improved before you do your final draft. So there's quite a lot of support there. Miss, can you maybe just introduce briefly the language coursework and what that is?
Yeah, so the language coursework is an investigation. And it's an investigation from your own choice. So whatever you're interested in, and sometimes people take an interest, or sometimes people take something from a subject they want to get involved in, or they want to take later. So you look at an investigation of the language of something, or a comparison of particular types of text, of non-fiction text. So for example, we've had everything as really diverse pieces. We've had somebody look at the language of the character Luther and how they convey their power, how they retain that through their language. We've had somebody look at the language of Trump compared to Theresa May. We've had somebody look at the language of Russell Brandable people. So it really does depend on where you want to go with this. I think it's really a lovely thing to do. Sasha, can I ask you, how did you start to even consider what you would do for your coursework?
Well, I had lots of ideas. I wasn't really too sure I wanted to go with it. But in the end, I just focused on something I sort of had an interest in. So I was quite interested in listening to podcasts. So I analysed two different podcasts on the same topic of mental health. And through that, I could bring in both power and gender. So I found it was a good way to like integrate like more than one element of the course into my work.
Thank you, Sasha.
What about that idea of like directly answering that question about does it become overwhelming? Eleanor, how did you find the coursework in that way?
I found that it's more of a personal thing. It's about like how you manage your time and manage doing it, because we were all given less than time to do it and a lot of help from the teachers, and we've known since the beginning of year 13 exactly what we needed to do, and we had a deadline and we were sort of told start as early as you want, and it was all about how you juggled it with your other coursework. So like there were a few people in our class that did art subjects and they had a lot of coursework to do, so they chose a time that suited them. So I'd say it's overwhelming if you make it overwhelming, if that makes sense, but it's very easy to make sure that it doesn't become overwhelming by managing your time well.
Good. Other questions in the chat, Miss, there was one about over the summer, I think.
Have the work we need to complete over the summer already been set in the videos, or are there other things you recommend we do? I think that's a really interesting thing. We probably should hand that over to the students as well, actually.
I might just start with a bit about the videos, Miss, because obviously our guys might not know exactly what's been sent out. In the videos, in the YouTube lessons that we've set, that has explained the task that you need to do for English language. There's a kind of grammar booklet, and we've asked you to start a scrapbook and to collect a couple of texts and to basically do some annotations on any two texts, whether it be something that's come through your door or, you know, some kind of flyer or advert or something like that. That is all in the video, and that's all you need to do for language. On the English literature, you hopefully should have by now, or you imminently will get a letter that is sent home with the text that we want you to read between now and September. So on that, you will start by studying Dracula with one teacher, and with the other teacher, you will start with studying Twelfth Night. So your priority for September should be reading all of Dracula, and making sure that you've watched a version of Twelfth Night. We've sent you a link to somewhere that you can watch that. After Christmas, you will move on to The Bloody Chamber for your Gothic. I would still read this over the summer while you've got this extra time and a kind of extended break. But you will start with Dracula and then move on to The Bloody Chamber. And then you will also, over the summer, I would read Jerusalem because it's nice and short. It's nice and it's light and it's funny and it's interesting. And basically the reading for English literature is what we want you to do over the summer. So there's nothing else kind of secret apart from that. No kind of essays or anything that we're asking you to produce. Can I just ask our other kind of students here, are there things that you would recommend in addition to doing the reading of the set text that would be useful to do over the summer? Ursula, literature-wise, anything extra that would be good?
Literature-wise, I actually, building on Sasha says she liked podcasts, and there are so many good podcasts out there, particularly because the texts we do they're quite seminal, and there's just a lot of information out there. I mean, if you go into BBC Sounds or you go into In Our Time, there's just a background for Dracula, you know, a bit about Bram Stoker, etc. But other than that, just reading around, if something interests you, sort of just grab onto it, and there are lots of rabbit holes you can go down online.
No, I was just going to ask you, did you read some extra things about Dracula before the September started then?
I did a bit of reading around the Gothic mainly because I knew that it was linked back to Bloody Chamber as well. But the other thing is that I wrote this down because it's a really specific thing, but I think what would have really helped me had I done it retrospectively would have been to know, because you only do Twelfth Night at A level in terms of Shakespeare, but I think for every text that we do, a knowledge of just the plot of Shakespeare, of a lot of his plays, is key, because I think it just crops up all over the place, just in references. Even in Jerusalem they reference certain plays, and I think that would have been of help, just to know a little bit about the different Shakespeare plays.
Great. On the English language side, Sasha and Eleanor, is there anything that you think you kind of wish you'd done in advance, or something that you did do in advance for English language that would be helpful for these guys to get ready for September while they've got a bit of extra time?
Yeah, one thing I'd say I wish I didn't was to worry too much about really sort of in-depth language terms. Like, obviously you do the grammar workbook, but I think something I wish I just read around a bit more, and something I did do is just opened up to lots of different genres of different writing, like leaflets, online articles, blogs and stuff, and I read more of those rather than worrying too much, because I used to think, I don't know all of these language terms in detail, but you don't need to know that because you learn it along the way with your teachers.
So reading things like persuasive editorials in newspapers,
political stuff as well, it's always good.
Great. Sorry, we had some kind of demon on the line there temporarily. Sasha, anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, I'd just say lots of different texts. Because we look at the spoken language later, like anything to do with listening to radio, listening to audio, and just, you might not necessarily know the specific terms or something you're looking for, but like if you just get used to listening to it, if you find out anything interesting, you might be like, oh, I can use this later. Same with, like, I don't know, TED Talks, for example, like, look out for anything in the news to do with language, because that can be really interesting contemporary when you come back to the class. Mm.
For those of you guys in year 11 or year 12, I think you should say now, that are on Twitter, one thing that might be good is just to create a separate Twitter account, just one that's just for school, and then to follow lots of kind of sixth form English language accounts. And maybe even the accounts of some other people that are maybe not even, you know, within education, but just really interested in language, some linguists and so on, because they will always be kind of retweeting articles about, for instance, how men and women use language differently, or something interesting about maybe the way a celebrity has used language, those kind of things. There's also a really, really lovely programme that is on the radio, on BBC Radio, that is kind of archived online, which is called Word of Mouth. And on that, there's an interesting kind of episode about English language kind of every week. And that's all archived. And that could be on absolutely anything. But it's generally really interesting. So that's for the general public, as well as people that that are into language. Okay, let's just have a look. Questions. Right. Let's ask the essay structure one. Is essay structure taught at A-levels, or do students develop that independently? Eleanor, can I go to you on that?
Yeah, I'd say it's a mixture. I'd say that it's definitely different to GCSE, and in that perspective, we are taught a basic structure of what needs to be included in essays. However, I would say that essay writing is a very personal thing, and everyone develops their own way of doing it, so there's no right or wrong way. And something I found was it was very difficult to look at someone else's work, say that was a top mark answer, and adapt their writing, because I think it's a very personal thing, the essay writing.
Okay, good. Rose, what are your thoughts on that? Obviously you're from a literature perspective. Is an English literature essay similar to the ones that people have done at GCSE, would you say, or different?
It depends on what level you want to be at.
Okay.
If you be in the level C, then it's similar.
But okay.
If you want to be like top, then you generally do need to read more articles.
Okay. What would you say the biggest difference is between like a top grade essay then at A level and a GCSE one then? What's the thing that you do more of?
In-depth analysis.
Okay.
Not just stating a fact or like the obvious.
Yeah.
We used to quite often it like GCSEs, like, oh, this is a metaphor.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah. So the level of detail.
Or why have they chosen this? How does this affect us? Like, it's a lot more right into.
Yeah, into the detail. Ursula, anything you'd add to that?
You're allowed to have an opinion at A level, which
wow,
I think that's differentiates between the essays, and that you have an opinion, you put it in your intro, and that goes throughout your essay. And you often lose that in GCSE essays, I think. And yeah, I think.
Okay.